Let's pick up. We are looking at the blessing of God, and like we've said over and over, sometimes it's hard to believe, but God wants to bless us. God wants us to live in blessing. The problem is that blessing is sometimes not how we define it. And the problem is because we don't understand what true blessing is. We define blessing as material things or provision for what we want, and that's blessing. When I get good things, that's blessing. When I enjoy these things, when I'm pleased with that, that's blessing. And yet many times, if that's the only source of blessing, we don't understand that those things, they're not blessing. They are just things that actually kind of dry us out. They actually leave us empty. It's kind of like on a hot day and all you have to drink is soda. I mean, in the moment, it's quenching and it tastes really good. But the sugar and the caffeine and everything that goes in it is just going to dry us out. We're going to be worse off than before. And so many times that's our definition of blessing, that we want all these things and we even say, God is not a good God and I'm upset with God because he has not blessed me. When the problem is he has absolutely probably blessed us by keeping some of those things that we want from us. Because many times he sees down the road that the very things that we desire are the things that are going to kill us. And many times the things that we think that we need, I just need this, God, I just want this. He sees that in the end, that is going to be the snare, that's going to be the trap that brings us to the very place that the enemy, Satan, wants us to be, where we are then cut off and we lose the very promise of life. And so the blessing of God comes in many forms, but the blessing of God is a true blessing that not only just tickles us on the outside and pleases the exterior, but it is a blessing that brings deep satisfaction, that brings a growth and a life within us that this world cannot take away. And we've got to pray that God would begin to open our eyes to see that. And so we've looked at different areas of the blessing throughout the Word of God, and we're kind of moving forward in time through that. We've looked at the birthright. We saw the difference between Jacob and Esau, the difference of perspective that they had and the difference that it made in their life. Last week, we looked at what it means to be planted in God and the growth and the perseverance and the strength that comes from letting our life be planted and be full of the water and sap of God who brings a harvest in our life. Today, I want us to look at another portion in 2 Kings, the story of Elijah and Elisha. And we're specifically looking at Elisha and his desire for the blessing. And I think this is kind of goes with what we've been saying is, do we even perceive the value of what God has for us? Are we like Elisha? And this is the thing that kind of represented Elisha, that he, you know what, he wanted nothing but God. These other things are not what satisfies, but he desired God. And when we have a desire for God in that way, there is a blessing that comes from that. So let's look at the story in 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. It says, "Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, 'Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha, and they said to him, 'Do you not know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?' And he said, 'Yes, I know it. Keep quiet.'" We're going to talk about that. Why would he tell them to keep quiet? "But Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, because the Lord has sent me to Jericho.' But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. And so they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, do you not know that today the Lord will take your master from over you? And he answered, and he said, yes, I know it. Now keep quiet. Then Elijah said to him, start to see the routine here. Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But again he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you, Elijah. And so the two of them went on. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went, and they stood at a distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up, and he struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. And when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what shall I do for you before I am taken from you? And Elisha said, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it will not be so. And as they went on, they talked, and behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Just a real quick side note. Everyone says it, they forget Elijah was taken up by the chariots of fire. That's not true. The chariots of fire simply separated them, and Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes, and he tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him. And he went back, and he stood on the bank of the Jordan. And he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he struck the water, saying, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and they bowed to the ground before him. So we see that this is the story that of the blessing of God of the double portion. That Elisha had such a desire to be used by God, to be within the presence of God, that he desired even a double portion of what Elijah had. Now, it's a hard thing because he had seen the things that Elijah had gone through, the attacks, the persecution. Elijah was not a loved person. He did not have the best of life. We know that Ahab and Jezebel hated him. They had strived to kill him at every turn. But here was the thing that Elisha saw. See, Elisha didn't see all that. All Elisha saw that God was with him, that God's power was upon him, that the hand of God was in his life, and that Elijah was favored by God. And you see, Elisha fell in love and understood the value of God more than the value of being liked. See, too many times we want other people to like us. We want to enjoy the things of this world. We want to accomplish some things. Man, before I die, what good is it if I don't even get to accomplish these things? Or, you know, I don't get to be able to do that. We need to understand that even if you don't get to do the things that you've always wanted to do, if you have God in your life and you find the favor of God, I'm going to tell you, your life was not wasted. In fact, your life will be more valuable in the hand of God than if you are the person who achieves everything that you want. We've got to begin to understand the value of what life really comes from. And it comes from the Spirit of God upon us. And so Elisha said, I want a double portion. I don't want just what you have, Elijah. I want a double portion of God. I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to have God in my life. Are we willing to say that? Are we willing to say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to have God in my life? That's a big question. And there's many a Christian who on the surface love God. They don't want to go to hell and they believe in Jesus, but they're not willing to do what it takes because they don't really love God more than this life. And that's the deception that the Bible warns us of, that if we love the world more than God, it doesn't matter whether you've said a sinner's prayer. It doesn't matter if you've in your mind said, yes, I believe that Jesus died for me, because here's the thing, Satan and the demons, they all acknowledge Jesus. But you know what their problem was? Satan loved himself more than God. See, Satan was in the very courts of God. He worshiped. He was the worship leader. He was the one that saw the beauty of God, and yet he loved his own desire more than God. And yet we fall into that and we are deceived. We've got to come to this place. We need to ask ourselves, do we believe that the treasure of God is more valuable than what we can accomplish in life? Now, here's the thing. When you understand the treasure of God, you're going to accomplish more in life, because God did not put you in this world to just sit back and not accomplish anything, but he wants you to accomplish it for him, not for us. We want to accomplish the things that he has planned for us and not us. And I'm going to tell you, you are going to be satisfied in those things much greater than you are for him, than for ourselves. So what is, we've asked this question with every blessing, what is the double portion? What does it mean to seek a greater blessing? Are we just happy to sit in church Sunday from Sunday and then go through our life? You see, we need to say, God, I need you to stir me up. I need to want more. See, that's the thing, that Elisha was not happy with just going through life the same old way. And we have got to break the mold. We've got to start to say, God, I want more. I want something different. I want something new. I don't want even what was in the past. Many of us, we sit in our pews and we dream about how God used to be, and that's not even what God wants for us, because that's holding us back. I want to want something more. I want a double portion. That's why he wants double. I don't want just what you had, Elijah. I want something for me. I want double. Do we want double? What is the double portion? Well, when we look through Elisha's life, because we see that he clearly received it, what do we see in his life? This is what we need to desire. We see that from that point on, Elisha had a purpose. You see, he had a purpose to speak the word of God to his own people, to bring the very presence of God into this very dark and wicked world. You see, God has a purpose for us. There is an anointing upon us. The anointing is different from the purpose in that the anointing is, it's good to have a purpose, but it's good to know that God is with me in that purpose. See, that's what the anointing is. The anointing tells us that God agrees with you. What a great feeling to know that God has put his hand upon you. Yes, you have a purpose, but you also have the hand of God on you, that God is behind you. If you are walking in the purpose of God, you don't have to be afraid, because God is your source. God will bring you through it. The anointing of God is the presence of God. It is the Spirit of God within you. And not only that, but we saw that Elisha received the power of God. We see that many people say the double portion was double the power, and I don't know if he actually had twice as much power as Elijah had, but we do know that it's not a coincidence that in the history of Elisha that's recorded, all we have is what's recorded, is that exactly twice as many miracles was done by Elisha as was done by Elijah. which is an amazing thing. I think this is just, it's not to say that Elisha was better. I think what it's telling us is that God is saying, if you will seek me, if you will seek me, and if you will value me, I will anoint you, and I will give you the power to do the things that I have for you. Now, it doesn't mean the power to just speak what you want. It's not a power that we get for ourselves that I can just do what I want. It's the power of God to defeat the enemy. It's the power of God to overcome many times the things within us that hold us down, that we struggle with. You need to know that you have the power of God. We sing about the name of Jesus. It says in the Bible that at the name of Jesus, spirits of darkness tremble. We need to understand that we have the power to claim that name if we are truly walking in that name, if we have surrendered our life to him, if we are desiring Jesus to touch us. So there is a purpose that God has for you. There's an anointing that God has for you, and there is power to walk this life. And I'm going to tell you, that blessing is worth all the riches. It's worth all the favor of people. It is worth anything that you can get in this world to know that I have a purpose. I have the anointing of God to accomplish that purpose, and I have the power to overcome those that come against me. That is the blessing that God has. Well, if that's what God wants you to experience, he wants you to experience that, how do we receive it? How do we get it? Well, we looked at this story, and we see a great example, because this is how Elisha got it. How did Elisha get it? By nothing but absolute dedication. What was it that he did? He stayed connected. Every time Elijah said, you know what, just stay here, it's okay, God's gonna bless you. And God would have blessed Elisha, but what did Elisha say? No, you're not getting rid of me that quick and that easy, Elijah. I'm staying right where you are. You know why he knew? He said, I need to be where God is gonna show up. And God's coming to get you. God has a plan for you. I'm not moving. I'm not leaving you. I'm going to stay connected to the life flow. Elisha knew that God was flowing through Elijah. Back in that day, the Holy Spirit was not poured out on the whole world. There was not a church that God inhabited. And so Elijah was the prophet that had been appointed. And Elisha knew that. And so he said, I'm staying connected to the flow of God. You see, if you love God, if you desire God, you're not going to want to separate from God. You're not going to desire to just check in every now and then. If that's the case, you really don't desire the things of God. You don't love the things of God. When you love someone, you're not like, I might see you tomorrow or not. I might be busy. Well, you like the person, but you don't love the person. Because when you love the person, you stay connected. And nowadays, even more so. Back in the day, I know some of these younger ones don't understand, there was only like maybe one phone in the house attached to a cord. You couldn't take it very far. That was it. So it was harder to stay connected. Nowadays, you're connected to people all the time, constantly, we couldn't have even imagined that growing up. But we would hurry home to get on the phone to call and get connected to that person that we love. So we need, if we are going to receive the blessing of God, it only comes in connection. In fact, Jesus put it this way. He says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you, and you will receive everything that you ask. But are we abiding? That abiding means, are you connected? Are you staying connected? So what did Elisha, what was he connected to? He was connected to Elijah, and he wasn't going to leave. But what does that represent in our life? I think there are three things that we need to stay connected to, our Elijahs. First of all, and what Elijah represented is, and it's the main thing, you've got to stay connected to God. If you want the favor of God, if you want the blessing of God, come on, we got to stay connected to God. We say that and we call ourselves Christian, but I would say half of us are disconnected. Half of us have put God on hold, and we are not experiencing the flow of God's blessing in our life. You know why? Because we're too busy and we really don't want that. It becomes something that gets in the way of what we want. If we want the blessing of God, we need to stay connected to God. What does that mean? That means you need to stay connected to his word. We need to spend time in the word. We need to know his word. We need to love his word. David loved his word. We read Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the whole Bible. And what's it about? The word of God. It's about the power that we get when we read the word and we let the word come within us. It is life to our bones. It begins, even the commandments, even the warnings that God gives us. If we love God, thank God you warned me against that, God. Because that's really what I wanted to do. And I still want to do that, but God, let the warnings grow within me. It's the word of God that keeps us connected. Well, also, we need to stay connected in prayer. And I put communion there because prayer, it's just communing with God all day long. We need to begin to keep a connection in our heart and begin to see him in everything we do. We need to see him in school, that even when we're sitting there taking a test, when we're hearing the lecture, we begin to invite him into our thoughts, into our hearts. When our friends are around us and we are pulled into the social things that we are involved in, are we constantly interacting with the Spirit? God, is this something I should do? Do you find favor in this? Can I bring you into this situation? Are we constantly in communion with God in everything that we do? We need to stay connected. And then, of course, in worship. You know, when we come to church, it's not just a scheduled thing. We need to begin to connect to worship. See, I think a lot of us, we worship God or we praise God, but we don't connect to it. It's more than singing a song. It's letting your heart enter into that. It's connecting to the Spirit and saying, I do this not because it sounds good or I like the type of music that we're singing. I do it because I want to connect to the Spirit. I want my spirit to worship your spirit. We need to begin to be people of praise. We need to be people that have a song in our heart, that we can worship God, because it is in worship that we connect to the power of God. You know, it's crazy. And it's not, God doesn't change. You read the stories over and over again of the victories that God does when they worshiped. It says that when they went to battle many times, he said, send the priests out in front of you singing. Just let them sing. Just go sing in front of the enemy. Really, God? Singing in front of the enemy. He said, yes. They would go singing. They'd come to the top of the mountain, ready to go down in the valley. And when they cross that hill, they find that the enemy had already been defeated. Because God had taken the sound of the singing, and in the ears of the enemy, he had turned it into the sound of a huge army coming. He had put fear into the hearts of the enemy to where the worship of God absolutely destroyed those things that had come against us. And it's the same thing today. If we begin to develop a heart of worship in our heart, of praise, of songs, songs are valuable. Throughout, I don't understand, there's some churches that don't sing, that don't have music. That's absolutely non-biblical. Throughout the Old Testament, God says, make a great noise with the lyre and the harp and all the musical instruments. He said, this is the shout of joy. This is the sound of worship that pushes the enemy away. We need to stay connected to God. How connected in those things are you? If you look at your life right now, what's the percent that you're connected to those things? Are they your life? Are they the lifeblood of what you're about? Are you connected to God? But the second thing is, it's not just about being connected to God and doing your own thing. God calls us, and there is power in being connected to people. You see, Elisha would have no power if he never went and interacted with people, if he did not raise up those around him, if he did not realize that his very purpose of being connected to God was so that he could bring people into that connection. We need to understand we are called to be connected to people. God is a God of community. You see, the only reason you're created is God said, I don't want to be by myself. So he said, let's make man that's like us. You see, because God wanted love to share with others. If we say that we only love God, then you are not like God, because even God wants to be around people. He wants family. He wants community. And so we, if we are going to receive the anointing of God, we have got to enter into that same love for one another. It is the love for the body of God that brings us the anointing of God. So just like God, how are we connected to people? We are connected to the church. The first and foremost love of Jesus' heart is the church. In fact, he calls them my bride. The church of God is the bride of Christ. It's the love of God. God loves the body of Christ. He says, so you need to be a part of the bride. You need to connect to the people of God. How much are we connecting to the church? Is it the love of our heart that it is? Is it the treasure? Is it that double portion that I'm receiving that you're not going to get rid of me? You can't make me not come to church because I will be there, Elijah. Because who knows, one time God is going to fall in a service at church. And if I'm not there, then I miss out. There needs to be a desperation like that. Now, there's going to be times that we have to miss. I understand that. But is there that attitude that, yes, I'm going to miss, but every other time I'm going to be there? Because I have a desire for the anointing of God. But not only the church, but are we connected to unbelievers? How can we live out the power of God if we never connect to unbelievers? In fact, we need to love to be with unbelievers so that we can share with them the love of God. The whole point is to connect with them so that I can share Christ with them. Now, not just to have friends, that's my thing, that I have unbelievers. But if you have unbelieving friends, but you never share Christ, well, then you might as well not have unbelieving, because then all they're going to do is pull you away from God. Okay, understand, the only reason I'm saying to connect to unbelievers is for one purpose, is so that you can share and be the lifeblood to them. Otherwise, then we better cut those out of our life, because it says that our friends will be the very death of us. But also, the hurting. Guys, we need to, if we are the church, if we are the anointed of God, then we are the people of compassion. Jesus constantly said, he lifted up his eyes, he saw the people coming towards him, and he was moved with compassion. We need to stop turning eyes to people that are hurting. We need to stop avoiding those that just take up more of our time. And we all know that there's those that you know, they're just a pain. But there's things in their life that there's a reason that they are hurting. Are we going to be people of compassion? We need to stay connected. Because when you stay connected to the work of God, you are going to receive the flow of God. That's where Jesus' heart is. So again, I'm going to ask, how connected are we to people? We look in these three areas. Look at our life. Are we connected to the church? Are we connected to unbelievers? Are we connected to the hurting? When was the last time you stepped out and did a random act of kindness to someone that was hurting, or looked for an opportunity to bless someone? Well, there is a third thing, and it is this. You need to stay connected to ministry. You see, Jesus did not just give us an anointing and a blessing and a double portion so that we could just soak it in. So that we could just be with people and have little celebrations together, that we could just connect to God and just, you know, just enjoy life with God. The whole purpose is we need to begin to turn it out, because Jesus said, I've called you to be a servant. We all have a purpose. If we are going to stay connected, we've got to get connected to a gift that God has given us. And I'm going to tell you, every one of us have the ability to do something for God. And we need to find out what that is. And until you find out what it is, here's the best thing. You do what you can. Because there are things that need to get done. You just need to do it. We just need to be available. We just need to say, I need to minister. I need to begin to find something to connect myself to and begin to work for the Lord. What are you doing to work for the Lord? And of course, the majority of that is within the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ touches the rest of the world, we begin to do that. But also, it doesn't have to just be in church. You know what? There are places that we can have our church body, but we begin to make a difference in our community. Do you volunteer for things that are going on around your community and areas that you can make a difference? Find a ministry and begin to work for God. It is when we begin to find that purpose that God expands that purpose. And so we need to connect to the ministry. It says in Romans chapter 12, it says, let every person, begin to live out what God has put within them. If you have a heart that is made to serve, it says then serve with all your heart. If you are someone that works with your hands, then you find some way to work for your hands to bring Jesus into this world. If you're a person of compassion and your heart is just sensitive to that, then you begin to become an encourager. You begin to put that into work. If you're someone who gives, God has given you the ability to make money, to earn money. That is a gift from God, but that is so that you can fund the ministry, that you can begin to support what God is doing, that you become a giver. If you are a person who can teach, who can raise up, if you're a leader that can lead, God has just given you that ability. We need to begin to use it. We need to get connected to a purpose. And I'm going to tell you, when you begin to work for God, and it may not be your real purpose, but the more you start to do something, God will begin to slowly nudge you into the perfect place that you need to be. But sometimes you got to just start doing things before you find that place. Many people, their excuse to not do anything is because I haven't found the right place yet. Well, so you're just going to wait for it forever. You're never going to find it. It's kind of like a car that, you know, you're trying to get into just the right place and you're trying to push it. Have you ever tried to steer a car when it's not moving? You're moving it and it is hard. Because once you get it moving, then it's much easier. You can steer it moving along. God just wants to get you moving. He needs to get you off. He doesn't want you to stop and wait for the right time to come. Just start working. Just start doing something for God, helping out, and God will begin to bring you into that place. So we need to stay connected. Here's the thing, the final thing. Just don't give in. If you want the blessing of God, don't give in. You know what we give in to? A lot of things. We give in. Here's the first thing that we give in to. Well, God hasn't shown up. I'm tired of waiting. God, my life is hard. I'm tired. How many of you are weary? We feel weary. We're worn out. I'm worn out, God, and you haven't shown up. And I'm tired of it. And yet I keep giving and giving and giving to the church and giving to these people. And other people get these things and I don't. The enemy wants you to give in. You know what that is? I'm going to Bethel, Elisha. Okay, good, I'm going with you there. We're going to see it. Nope. I'm going to go to Jericho. Okay, I'm going to Jericho. We're going with you. Nope, nothing happens. We're going to the Jordan. We're going to the Jordan. All right, God's going. And nothing's happened. You know what? By this time, Elisha said, you know what, Elijah? I'm done with it. We've been walking this desert. I am tired. We've been hiking all day long. And nothing happens. But Elisha did not give in. I'm telling you, don't give in because of the wait. Don't give in because it hasn't happened, because you're going around everything else but not getting where you want. Don't give in. The other thing he didn't give in to is every single place the people came to Elisha, said, Elisha, God's going to do a great thing. He's taking your master away from you. Now, you know what they were really saying is? They're not saying he's taking your... See, they recognize that Elisha was the heir apparent. They're saying, Elisha, you're going to be in charge. Come on. You're going to lead us, because those sons of the prophets, history tells us, and rabbinical history tells us, that they were people that Elijah had trained up. In each city, there was these core of disciples that followed the teaching of Elijah. And so these people were saying, Elisha, come and lead us. Elisha, you're going to be the man, and we're here for you. He said, I don't want to hear that. He wasn't going to give in to distractions with what people will say. And I'm going to tell you, we give in to what people say. We give in, either we want, ooh, do you like me? How many know that we like, when people like us, I'll stay right here, because, you know, if you're talking to me, I'm gonna soak that in. Be careful with that. Don't give in to that, because many times that is distracting us from what God wants us to do. Don't give in to what people say. Even it might be people who don't believe in you. Could be people that say you're worthless or you're not going to. Don't give in to that. You know what he also did not give in to? Even when God himself separated him from Elijah. God himself sent the chariots of fire and the horse and separated him from Elijah. But you know what he did? He fought to see. Where is Elijah? I need to see. And it said that even though that separated him, he still saw when the whirlwind took him up. You know what? Sometimes you need to even not let the circumstances that God brings your way. God will bring hard things into your life. There are times for whatever reason, God knows, he will bring you through valleys of pain, or he will bring you to heights of accomplishment. But you need to stay focused on what God wants. That God, even though you have brought this in my way, my eyes are still on you. Because my eyes are not on what you do, God. My eyes are on who you are. Are you willing to not give in no matter what God brings your way? If you don't give in, I'm telling you, God will move in your heart. Will you seek the double portion? Do you have something in you that just wants more of God? Now, and I know just the way statistics works, about half of you really could care less. You want just enough God to get by. I just don't want to go to hell. Here's the problem with that. The people who want just enough, the very thing that you are afraid of is going to happen to you. I'm just going to be honest. Unless you desire more of God, you will not get any of God. You might say, that's pretty harsh, Pastor. There are examples throughout the Bible. You look at David. When did David, he could have lost everything from God. When did it happen? It says that when David fell and committed his worst sin, when he slept with Bathsheba and then ended up killing her husband, it was because he was content and stayed at home. I don't need to do any more. It says it was at a time that he could have gone to war, but he decided to stay home. You see, it's when you stop wanting more of God that the enemy's going to come and you will fall. You look at Samson. It was when Samson, he had won everything. He had beat the Philistines all the time, and he was not afraid anymore. And those terrible words says that he did not even realize that the Spirit of God had left him because he had just gotten content. He was complacent. I'm going to tell you, unless you desire more of God, you are in danger of losing all of God. Because it'll happen without you even knowing it. Before you know it, God's Spirit had left you, but you're just going through the motion. So I want to encourage you today, let's desire a double portion. Let's begin to say, God, shake me up, that I don't want to get disconnected, but I am going to be connected so that when you show up, God, I'm there. I'm ready. I desire you. Let's not give in, but let's receive the double portion. Let's bow our hearts.